In an earlier episode of Jim Lang's podcast, he and I had a discussion about youth becoming part of the electoral process here in Canada. It's happened in other parts of the world, and now we're talking about doing it here in Canada. Hi, I'm Mike Wixon, TPL Media, and joining me today, Jerry and Jason from Vote16.ca, a movement to get youth voting from the age of 16. Hey guys, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Hello, thank you for having us on.
So it seems to me that this is not just a movement, it's also a trend. I'm noticing young people, sort of a younger demographic than we expect in Canada, engaging in politics. Is that your experience as well, guys?
For sure, yeah. I can take this question, and Jerry, you can jump in whenever. But yeah, I think young people are engaged right now, and I don't think it's only a sentiment or, you know, seeing people on the street. But like, if you look towards actual factual data, Elections Canada, for instance, found that 16 and 17-year-olds are just as politically engaged, if not more so, than the people who can actually vote today and the people who are currently in our electorate. So I think the common question that people ask is, if young people are so engaged, if we look towards, you know, youth voter turnout rates, why have they been so consistently low and stooping in such recent years? And I think the answer isn't what, you know, critics of Vote 16 say. It isn't apathy. It isn't, you know, factors like laziness or too busy, you know, doom scrolling or just doing like stupid things. But rather, I think it's a problem with motivation that Vote 16 uniquely solves. When 16 and 17-year-olds are locked out of the democratic process in of itself, and which often means that their concerns, their issues, their voices are completely ignored and neglected because of an arbitrary age limit, I think there's very little incentive for youth, 16 and 17-year-olds especially, to actually engage and speak out on the issues that they care about or the issues that pertain to them and will hurt their lives for, you know, the rest of however many years they're on this earth. So I think the important thing to note here is that this exclusion principle creates a vicious self-repeating cycle, if you will, where youth feel very, very unheard, and then they begin to disengage. And ironically, they're blamed for their very own silence. And I think importantly, the phrase that we love to say here is that the youth never stopped caring. The system stopped caring about them.
I kind of remember being a little more politically activated in my youth. And I think that there is a certain energy that comes with that. What got you guys engaged? You're in Western BC. Do you think that this is a pocket of movement that is only happening in the West Coast of Canada? How did you get engaged, and what are you noticing across the country?
Yeah, I'll take this on. So I think this, for the first part of your question, is this a movement specifically located only on the West Coast or only in where we're from? And the answer to that is no. It's a very widespread and a very prominent issue, and people are advocating it for it, youth and adults alike, across Canada. So there's a very strong movement here in BC, but in Ontario, in other places around Canada, it's also a very vibrant community of young and older advocates fighting for the issue. And for the second part of your question on how Jason and I got engaged, there's a very long backstory to it, but long story short, we had the immense privilege of volunteering at our local Member of Parliament's office. And there, what we normally do is we read through correspondence. Sometimes we analyze policy briefs, but we just really get to see and flag what the constituents are writing to the MP about and what their major concerns are. And when you look at it for a very long time, you end up seeing a very glaring problem, which is that in like the thousands of hundreds of tens of thousands of emails that you see in front of you, there's very little that pertains to youth, very little that's on youth concerns, and very little, frankly, written by youth themselves. And you start to think, why is this a problem? And importantly, this isn't a problem with the MP, but rather a problem with the entire system, as Jason just previously explained, which is that they don't have any motivation when they're literally excluded from the democratic process of voting itself. And so this really got us thinking on how we can actually help solve this issue that's currently facing in front of us. And what Jason and I ended up doing was we created a podcast. You can see it somewhere around my head. It's called Twin Talk Politics. It's literally twins talking about politics. But the entire goal of this podcast is speak to politicians themselves and ask them the questions that youth have been wanting answered for a very long time. And the goal of our podcast is really to get youth into politics. And I guess how we got into Vote 16 is one of the questions that we ask all of our guests is, you know, how can youth become more engaged within our democratic process? And a very prominent answer, and one that spreads across many party lines and across many of our guests, is extending the voting age to 16. And through that, that's how we got engaged with the federal movement. And now we're working extensively on the BC one.
Guys, what are some of the issues that we're missing in our 50s and 40s that the youth really are amazed that we can't see through?
For sure. I can tackle on this question. I think there's a couple parts to this. Obviously, I think the issues that pertain to youth also pertain to other generations as well. But importantly, I think it's including their voice inside the discussion, right? The argument we're trying to make is not that, you know, youth issues are more important than the issues of our parents or the older generation, but that everyone in Canada should deserve a voice. And I think that our issues are just as important as any other issue in the electorate, right? So issues that pertain to youth a lot more probably than the older generations look like probably post-secondary education and the incredible amount of cost it takes that actually right now actually discourage a lot of individuals from even stepping foot into the door for post-secondary education. It looks like our thoughts on climate change and the desperate need for us to actually tackle this issue, because frankly, in the next, I don't know, 10, 12 years, if we don't fix this issue, we currently do not have a future. We don't have, you know, a future we can enjoy life or we can pursue our interests. The world as we know it comes to a halt. Other issues like, you know, the evolving job market, where it's so consistently hard now to lock down a stable long-term job, or the housing epidemic. These are all issues that youth need to have a voice in right now.
Okay, so how many people in Canada have become part of this movement that are in the, you know, 16 to 18 category that currently are not voting?
Yeah, I can jump in on this question. So I think, as I mentioned previously, there's a lot of advocates working on this issue, and a lot of them are part of like the official Vote 16 umbrella, but often there's a lot of young advocates that may not have heard, may not be part of the official movement, but fighting their own campaigns. And I would say there's quite a lot. We're very widespread, and I don't think that our advocates and people fighting for this issue are only limited in the age bracket from 16 to 18. I know one of our leaders that is fighting for Vote 16 at a very high federal level is far beyond 18 years old. But if you truly believe in this issue, you'll continue fighting for it. And just an example, Jason and I just turned 18 this year, and we had the wonderful privilege of voting in our first ever federal election. But even after we can vote, we've really got to see firsthand how it feels. And you're literally included in democracy. And we know what that means for so much for our 16-year-old selves. So that's why we're continuously fighting for the movement. And I know so many of my friends are continuously fighting for this movement, even after they're beyond 18. Yeah, I'll quickly jump in here. As well as as Jerry said, that, you know, the advocates who are fighting for Vote 16 like are not only from the 16 and 17 age bracket that cannot vote right now. So if we look towards actual parliament in Canada, if you look at the countless bills that have been put like on the Senate floor, on the floor of the House of Commons, you know, point your direction towards Senator McFedrin, who has been such a vital backbone to this entire movement and have proposed so many bills consistently in the Senate sitting. You know, if you look back at Bill S. 201, and now sitting in the Senate of Bill S. 222, which is again the bill to extend the voting age 16. And it's very important to note that Vote 16 is a widespread movement across all, you know, provinces and territories of Canada, but also in our highest forms and highest levels of government right now.
So, who do you have to appeal to outside of the government? Is Elections Canada getting involved in this process with you?
I'll jump in on this question, not directly, but they have been giving us, and Elections Canada have been conducting their own research that's very vital towards our movement.
It seems to me that once you make a vote, you've picked a winner as somebody that you believe in, somebody that can lead the country or the province or even your municipality. Do you think that then engages you more in the community to hold that government accountable, to support the things that they're doing that you voted for? Does it actually create more engagement in society, do you think?
For sure. Yeah, I think 100%. I think that's what voting truly is about, regardless of your age. If you're casting a ballot, you know, the entire promise is that the system will represent you, will listen to your ballot and listen to your issues. And that will be reflected in, you know, the promises of, you know, whoever is running in the election. And I think insofar as you know that your voice actually matters, you're so much more likely to be engaged in democracy, whether that means like, you know, researching all the people on your ballot, the candidates, researching about the issues that matter to you, because you know that your voice finally matters. I think it makes a huge difference and will inspire so much more youth to turn out. And just tagging along here, even in schools where you're learning about civic education, where you're learning about our formal electorate and federal governing systems, when you're learning about all these things and you're in school thinking, oh, I won't even need to use any of this information until I'm out of high school. Why should I actually be listening right now? There's a very little incentive for youth to actually pay attention to these systems. Compare that to when they actually know that they're going to go out and vote in 2 months' time, they're going to be much more engaged and much more eager to learn.
Where do you guys get your information about politics, the stands that politicians are making? What is your source of, I don't want you to feel pressure to say true patriot love, but what's your source of information? Do you go to social media? Is it the standard traditional media that you go to? How do you inform yourself about your vote?
Right. Yeah, I can jump in here. I think just in terms of Jerry and I, our sources of information and news and current media are very widespread, obviously. So we look at a bunch of different news sources. As you said, a lot of traditional media. We listen to like podcasts hosted by radio stations as well. Read a lot of the news online as well. And as you pointed out, on social media as well. I think we look from a wide variety of different sources, so not specifically a source that leans a certain political position. So I think we're able to get, you know, a more holistic stance on, you know, government and what's happening in politics. And I think that's really useful in terms of translating that to, you know, a podcast or our discussions, which we like to keep nonpartisan, as we are a nonpartisan podcast. And nonpartisan.
I have to tell you, I really think that I would be engaged by your podcast. You guys really... you work well together, one point against the other. So I commend you for that. A couple of last questions here. One, where else in the world is this working?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. There's 17 different countries already in our world that have extended the voting right to 16 and 17-year-olds at least in one level of government. So whether that be locally, provincially, or federally. And some big names that are already involved in this movement. So very recently, the UK just passed allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to vote federally. But there's also been a long-standing list of different countries that have supported Vote 16 for extended period of time. So whether that be Scotland, Malta, Cuba, among many others.
Very interesting. If people wanted to, so what happens next? What do we need to do to get 16-year-olds voting? This has to become a law. Where are we in that process? And what can people do to encourage it if they wish?
For sure. I can sort of speak on what's happening in the movement around, you know, laws right now. And Jerry, maybe after you can jump in how we can support. So, yeah, as I was saying previously, there has been so much of a push, you know, in our area of BC, but also, you know, at a bigger federal level. So I'll start in the BC area where we're located. So recently, the legislature, so the provincial government, actually opened up a special committee on democratic and electoral reform, where Jerry and I had the immense privilege of presenting. And there we heard so much different constituents from all age groups, you know, go up and recommend the idea of extending the voting age to 16 and 17-year-olds in different levels of government, right? So starting municipally, and then in like school trustee and school board elections, and then moving up, you know, municipally and then provincially. So we do hear so much support on a provincial level, and we've seen it in government, right? So the three different times that this bill of, you know, extending the voting age to 16 has been on the provincial floor. And if we look even at municipally, there has been 14 different municipalities and school boards that have endorsed Vote 16 BC. And even at the UBCM convention in 2019, it was unanimously supported upon. But if we look towards the federal level, again, there's been so much support, right? So in the previous sitting, in the House of Commons, Taylor Bacharach proposed the bill, private members bill, Bill C-210, which, you know, is the bill of Vote 16. And it was so close to getting to second reading. You know, if we turned a few more heads, it had a really clear shot. And I think from that, there was such a huge movement of youth, you know, gathering behind it and really pushing that bill forward. But as well in the Senate, you know, right now, if you want to support Bill S-222 is currently on the Senate floor. And the previous couple times this bill was, you know, proposed, it was so close to, you know, reaching the next stage, whether it be committee stage or second reading. And I think if we just turn a few more heads, it will definitely help. And I think, as Jerry said, with the UK, a Commonwealth country now, you know, allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to vote at the highest level of government, with the 17 different countries like Argentina, Scotland, Austria, all these countries now allowing to 16-year-olds to vote, I think it's a really high chance that, you know, we'll see 16 and 17-year-olds being able to vote in Canada soon. And just to jump in here, if you are very supportive of the movement and really want to get in, there's multiple things you can do. So if you want to really take it forward, obviously campaigning and fighting on your own in your own municipality. So standing up in your own city council and asking your own council to support Vote 16 is a great way forward. But obviously that's asking a lot. So I think just for the general populace who are just trying to rally behind this issue, one of the best things you can do is just talk about the issue with your friends and family, right? Oftentimes, when you're thinking of politics at the dinner table, you're not really thinking of the issue of Vote 16. And just speaking to a lot of people have opened their mind about it. Because it's not many people, a lot of people are very against Vote 16. It's just the fact that not a lot of them have even entertained the question or the possibility, because this isn't a very widespread topic. So if we can just increase the conversation around it and get more people thinking about it, that's a really great way forward.
It's so funny that you say that, because in the discussion we this is by the way, once again, this is a follow-up to a discussion I had with Jim Lang on his show about getting the vote to 16. And my immediate reaction was, what? We say, how? It seems impossible that we could get responsible votes out of 16-year-olds. That's the truth. That's what that was my initial gut response. That's sure. Because I've had teenagers. However, it then occurred to me that most of my broken opinions, most of the opposition I've had to my thinking politically, most of the mind expansion I've had on talking politics has come from discussing it with the youth in my home, who often have very strong opinions, have the desire to find solutions. And so the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I need to follow up on this, because I think that there's something more to this than my initial reaction to it. So I think discussion is a good way to go about it. Vote16.ca is where people can get more info.
100%. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So that's a great resource where you'll see a lot of different tabs that you can click around. It's amazing. You can see all the municipal campaigns that are currently happening in Canada across the different provinces and territories. You can find our dedicated team there. You can find a whole host of resources why the voting age should be extended to 16 and 17-year-olds. You can read a lot of briefs. If you like data, there's a ton there. If you like news articles, there's a bunch there. So definitely a great host of resources there for everyone to read and get and gander through.
I appreciate that. Have you guys considered which one of you is going to run for prime minister? Because this could be a discussion you're going to have, you know, although you might get away with both running for prime minister and none of us would know.
Yeah, we haven't thought about that so far, but I guess never say never.
I really hope that it's people like you in the future that are thinking about running for government at any point. Or at any level of government, because you're thoughtful guys and you're making a movement. You've passed the era by which you have to be supporting this because you can vote now and you're still doing it. And I commend you for it. Thank you guys for joining us and talking about vote16.ca.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us on. It was truly a pleasure.